Hello, everyone, and welcome to Let's Talk About Christianity.
That's the first intro that you gave in a while, Keith. That's like the first intro you've done in probably a few months.
Well, yeah, and that's because of what we were just talking about there with the countdown timer and the clock and everything. I've been the one with the clock, and so you've been the one to start it. So, you know, maybe we should do it over again and let Pablo start.
Well, you kind of handed the intro over to me, and then I just kind of gave it back to you on an invitation basis.
Oh,
so, like, it's just,
okay.
Yeah.
It's by invitation only.
Right. Next time, I'm obviously going to do it because mine's better.
Obviously. Yeah. So, anyway, I'm here with Zach, and Pablo was able to join us again this week. So,
welcome back, Pablo.
Hola, amigos. Yes, I'm here again.
Pablito.
And he sounds so excited. He sounds so excited to be here again.
Yes, it's always kind of scary to know what's going on in every show.
Yeah.
We feel the same way, Pablo.
We feel the same way.
It's our show, so.
Yes. Yeah, we are on the same page, so, okay, that's good.
So, Pablo, you were telling us before we started recording that you spent a couple of days in Cusco.
Yes, I've been there in Cusco. I was by my local congregation there, so to spend some time with a youth group. So it's been an awesome time to be there in on a very well-organized congregation. It's one of the strongest churches of Peru.
Very good.
Iglesia de Cristo en Huanchac, Cusco, Peru.
Huanchac, Cusco. And okay, so
we're under the understanding, too, that this is the only congregation that has elders in Peru, too, so that's a big deal.
Yes.
Well, it's one of the few in Peru that has elders. So Pablo, tell us about Callao.
Okay.
How was this past Sunday?
Last Sunday in Callao, it was full house.
Full house.
Yes, and actually, during this week, during the men meeting,
we are
about to get more chairs. We have 50 chairs. We're running out of chairs, only for adults. So
we need more chairs.
Yes, more
that
chairs.
That is a good problem.
Yes,
you were in the new location this week, were you not?
Yes, I was.
Very good.
I
can't wait to get there and visit to see what's now.
And you know, since it's getting more people, we are thinking to put a second meeting in Sunday afternoon or Sunday evening too.
Uh huh. So, good.
With other people, so now to set up all the, you know, audio and video, like the projector, and we're planning to book a TV too in for children classes and things like that, and you know that is money.
Yeah,
and
it is money.
Thanks God, church is not putting all the effort.
Okay. Okay. So I will say this. Zach and I, in doing this program, you know, we make jokes pretty much every week about not having a budget. Well, that's because we don't have a budget.
Right.
I can tell.
And we have always made it a point that we were not going to ask for funds to help support the program, but I will say this: if you just have extra money laying around and you would like to help support the work in Callao, you can get in touch with me, and I will be more than happy to get you in touch with Pablo, who will be more than happy to spend your money for the
yes.
See, yes, Pablo's nodding his head. Yes,
what
will spend your money?
Okay,
thank you, guys. I don't want to make this like my congregation or Callao solo conversation.
Yeah,
One of the things that we're about to pay the rent, and if we just can get people that can provide us the money just to pay the rent, we can take care of the rest.
Right.
Letting you know. I mean.
I want to say that Pablo didn't know that I was going to give that little commercial there for the church in Callao. He didn't ask us to do that, but if you know of somewhere that is looking to support a good work, you know, this is a place that Zach and I have both been to. We have,
I fell in love with it.
We know the church in Callao. I could probably walk into the church at Callao and greet half of the members by name.
Right.
I love them very, very much, and they're doing a good work, and we'd like to hear good things from Callao.
They are. They're doing a really good job down there. And, you know, it was an awesome experience when I got to go down there. We worshiped with Callao on Sunday morning, and that was just fantastic. And I look forward to going back down there to see the new building that you guys are in, because that's going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be a whole lot of fun to worship with brothers and sisters in Christ and in Peru.
So, yeah. So we're recording this on Thursday, March 7th. This is Thursday, March 7th, probably not when you will be able to listen to it, but there's no point in me saying this because you probably won't get this until later, but today is the registration deadline for the campaign that will take place in Peru in and so if you have not registered to go on that trip, probably by the time you hear this, it will be too late. But I'm looking forward to that trip in June and going on the campaign to Chimbote. And Zach, I thought you were going to go in June. What happened?
I'm not going this year. I'm going to have to be taking a couple summer classes, about 3 to 4 summer classes this summer.
And that all goes back to having failed the praxis. Yeah.
Failed the math praxis a couple times.
Yeah.
And sent me back, and I want to be able to graduate. I want to be able to graduate, Keith, before I get old and gray. So, yeah, I want to be taking about 3 classes this summer trying to catch myself back up.
Okay.
So what do you got going on over in Soxton this week?
I saw something about
a youth event or something on Facebook, maybe is where it was.
There is the large youth rally that takes place in Dexter. It is this weekend, and we're planning on going over tomorrow evening. I think the girls are probably going on Saturday. We've got other stuff that came up on the schedule, and we're not going to be able to make it to the youth event on Saturday, but we're going to go over tomorrow night, and I've never gotten to go to it before. Everybody says it's big and
right.
That they do a really good job. And so I'm excited to get to go over tomorrow night and to be a part of that. And, I've been out of town most of this week, which is why we're recording on Thursday instead of Wednesday. My dad had a pacemaker, and so I've been over there with them this week. He's doing well, and everything is good there with him. And so, it's got me off schedule. It was my fault this week that we weren't able to record yesterday, but it all worked out because Pablo was in Cusco, and now I'm back. Pablo's back, and we're all back. So.
Right. And I'm ill. So it kind of, yesterday I was pretty bad off. I struggled to speak, so it wouldn't have worked out yesterday.
You sounded terrible yesterday, and all we were doing was texting.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know how you sound terrible over a text message.
I sounded terrible. I sound terrible. This is a big week for us here. We've got a gospel meeting coming up next week with Brother Wesley Hazel out of the Forest Park Church of Christ. So if you're listening to the program, you're near the Paintsville congregation, we've moved our services back for the gospel meeting time, so we'll be meeting at 7 on Sunday evening, and then 7 the rest throughout the week, Monday through Wednesday.
Oh,
so that's going to be a fantastic gospel meeting. I'm really looking forward to it. I've heard him speak. I've never seen him speak in person, but I've heard him speak over the internet and things of that sort.
Here's the ironic thing, Zach, is that time changes this weekend, and so springing forward an hour, you're moving the times of services to 7 p.m. on Sunday, but you'll actually still be at 6 p.m. if it had been the week before.
And then we've got an area-wide youth devo on Sunday evening too here, so that's going to be awesome. So if you got a teenage child that's in a youth group in a surrounding congregation, we invite you to come around and you'll get to hear an awesome devotional on Sunday evening, and then you'll go straight from the devotional into an awesome gospel meeting. So I mean, it's going to be fantastic. I'm really looking forward to it. It's going to be a good week.
Excellent. So Pablo, anything special going on down there other than what we talked about?
There is a plan for ladies meeting on April. Yeah, for the Callao Church.
Okay.
I just got an email when I was in Cusco from two ladies from the States planning to come down to Peru, especially to Callao. So actually today is the day that I'm just going to sit down and read that email again.
Women's Day.
So that's it. There is a lot to do still at the new building in Callao. You know, just some small refactions, no?
Yes,
I thought I'm gonna send you pictures, okay?
Very good.
Sounds good to me.
Yes.
We'll post them on our Facebook page.
You can post them
to our Facebook page or whatever. So that sounds good. I'm excited. So
that's it. Then okay. you will be able to see the congregation because no, I think you will have some day off in June before the campaign. So
I don't know what our schedule is in June yet. I don't know.
You don't even know what his schedule is for tomorrow, let alone June.
Well, we've been talking about whether we were going to come down a day or two early or not before the campaign begins. I don't know yet exactly how the schedule is going to work. We're still trying to figure that out because we've got some none of the others from Shady Acres have ever been there before, and they're a little nervous about traveling alone, and so their first time there. And they were like, well, if you go down early, what do we do when we get to the airport? How are we going to find you? And
you're going to leave us stranded. We're going to have to find our way.
And well, my answer was, don't worry, Pablo will be there. So. Yeah.
Pablo will be there.
All you have to do is look for Pablo.
Right. So
you put me on the list in advance. Thank you.
Pablo will be right there waiting for you with open arms and a big smile at the airport.
My plan is to come down a little bit later also, a couple months later. So, and I'll tell you more about my plan later. So. And you'll probably hear my plan and say, no, don't do that. That's foolish. So.
Okay. But coming from you, I don't know, man. So.
Okay. So we are, and I do this every week. I have no idea what episode number this is or anything. But, we had the idea of doing an episode about the sickness of sin, and that's all
really
because
it just started out as a joke, as me saying we can talk about the sickness of sin tomorrow because I've been sick, and then Keith's like, yeah, we'll just go with it. So It worked out. It worked out.
Well, you know, it's been one of those weeks. You know, you're sick with whatever it is that you've got, and fortunately, you cannot transmit those germs to me or Pablo from that distance.
You never know. Technology is a wonderful thing.
With my dad having his surgery on Tuesday, and now I've got an aunt right now, as we are talking, who is in the hospital. And so, yeah, a lot of sickness going on. By the way, randomly, this is season 2, episode 34, is where we are.
Episode number what overall?
79.
Yep,
this is episode number 79.
Next week will be 20 away from 100, Pablo. It's amazing.
Wow.
It's amazing.
It's kind of hard to imagine. This is episode number 79.
It's kind of hard to imagine that we've lasted 79 episodes, really, with no budget.
It's kind of with no budget. It's kind of hard to imagine that we still have listeners after 79 episodes. That's even more amazing.
That's true.
True. Even some Peruvian friends told me, "Hey, I listened to the program that the kid put on Facebook." Say, "Oh, really?" I said, "Okay."
There we go. More listeners, man.
That's right.
We've got subscribers worldwide, Keith. We've got subscribers worldwide.
Well, two continents anyway. Pablo, what are you eating?
Cusco chocolate.
Cusco chocolate. All right. I love chocolate.
Well, the Cusco chocolate is some of the best in the world.
Okay.
So, hang on. All right. Okay. So we're talking about sin sickness, and this is actually a topic that Jesus talked about on a number of occasions.
Mm-hmm.
But usually Jesus was talking about leprosy.
Right.
And, and I don't want to give it all away because I'm actually working on a sermon for a youth event that'll take place about a month from now. But one of the things that I was thinking about was there were some things that Jesus did that I don't know if I would do.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, for example, he touched a man that had leprosy.
That's brave. That's brave. Which, of course, it was Jesus, but still, it's brave. I mean, they were considered outcasts from society. You weren't even supposed to be near them.
And when we talk about sickness, you know, you've got I assume you've got a cold right now. It affects different parts of the body. It does different things to your body. But the thing about it is with that cold, you're not just able to say, "Well, my nose is running," and that's all that it affects. It's affecting, you know, a lot of times you've got a headache. When I get a cold, my ears get all messed up, and you know, your throat may get sore and you know, just all these different things that happen. Well, and I'll start this out. I don't know if you guys have any points or not, but the point I was going to make is it is systemic, and it affects all of the body. It may not affect all of the body in the same way, but it still has an effect on all of the body. So when we start talking about sin, we should always bear in mind, you know, Jesus in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, he uses the analogy of comparing the church to a physical body. And he talks about the different members of the body, not all having the same function, but they're all important.
Right.
And, you know, I was sitting here thinking that it is foolish of us if we think that sin is only going to affect us and that it's not going to have an effect on anyone who is around us.
I think sometimes we do that, though. We centralize our sin. We think, well, you know, my sin is just, it's greater than everybody else's, and I don't deserve the love, the grace, the salvation that I have because of my sin. But the truth is, we all sin. That's not an excuse to sin, but the fact of the matter is, we all sin. We all have sin of different berries and different kinds and things of that sort. And it's important to realize that you're not alone. You're not alone in your sin. There are other people who are struggling with sin as well.
There is a, when I was in college, there was a teacher who said that, and it's called that theory of the island. You know what okay. an island is, no? It's a piece
yes.
of land.
Yes, right, yes.
And if something happened on that piece of land, nobody will know it.
Okay.
So sometimes when we sin, we can tell that we are an island, no? Okay, if I commit sin, it will be only on me, and it won't affect people around me. But that is not true. it will always affect people. But that one of the issues that we as a human, you know, we take that attitude that to be an island and say, okay, I'm a sinner. Okay, it's just about me. It won't affect my family. It won't affect even my friends or my spouse or anything.
That's an interesting point too, Paulo. The influence of sin or the effect that your sin has on other people too. That's mm-hmm. that's a really, really good point. Our sin has an influence on other people, and if they see us in sin, especially as a Christian, then that's going to have an influence on them as well. Especially when it comes to spiritual matters, they're going to think that it's okay for Christians to sin or to live in sin if they see us doing those things. It's a very good point.
Mm-hmm. So we are not an island.
We are not an island.
So God told the children of Israel that if they were to make alliances with the nations around them, as you know, they were entering the land of Canaan, and God told them to drive out the inhabitants of the land. If they didn't do what God said to do, God told them, be sure your sin will find you out. And, you know, it was, and, you know, since we're talking about that, you look at the children of Israel going against the city of Ai, and Achan had sinned when they had destroyed the city of Jerusalem, Jericho. And because of Achan's sin, it had an effect upon all of Israel. That when they went against the city of Ai, they were not able to defeat this little small village.
Yeah, a small village, yeah.
And the sin of one individual had an impact upon all of the nation of Israel. And as we start talking about the effect of sin within the church, and you know, the point you made, Pablo, is certainly true. Sin is going to have an impact upon our families. It's going to affect our spouse. It's going to affect our children, or in some cases, it would affect the parents. But it doesn't stop there. It has an effect upon the entire church, and yes. that is something that we just can't assume that we are only hurting ourselves when we enter into sin. Okay, so. We know that sin is. Oh, go ahead, Zach.
I was going to say back from the influence. You know, if we go back to the influence that our sin has on others, it's literally like a sickness. I mean, sin spreads. I mean, it does, and it spreads from one person to another, and that can all be caused by one person's sin. And so, it really is just like a sickness.
Okay, so that could actually be its own point. We could talk about the contagious nature of sin.
That's what I was thinking. I thought it was a pretty good idea, man.
So, Zach, last night at Bible study, who did you give your germs to?
I didn't go to Bible study last night. because I didn't want to give my germs to anybody.
Okay. Okay. But you know, that's something that, you know, we think about this time of year in particular, Pablo, it's what we call flu season.
I know.
Here. And
you say it like it's a foreign concept to him because he's in a foreign land, but they have flu season too, Keith.
Yeah, but that could be, you know, I was worried about the language, you know, him understanding what I was saying. But yeah, it's not a season like spring, summer, winter, or fall, but it's that time of year when the flu is going around.
Right.
And, you know, there are many people who die from the flu every year, and we're not going to get into talking about flu shots because it would destroy my analogy here. But we do have to be concerned about the spread of those germs and bacteria and things like that. And we should realize that sin can be contagious. And you may be thinking, well, you know, let's just pick a random sin and think about it. And just take, for example, the sin of adultery. Now, the sin of adultery might not be contagious. You might not be tempted to commit adultery just because someone else committed adultery, or you know what I'm saying.
Right.
But there are other sins that are much more contagious in their nature. And you think of gossip, for example. That is a... It's one of those things that we tend to look at as someone else's problem, and looking at it as someone else's problem, then we start talking about it to others, and before we know it, we're doing it, and we don't even realize that we are doing it. But
lying too, Keith, and that's not just an influence on others. That has an influence on you. It's contagious to yourself, because you tell one lie, you're going to have to tell others to back that lie up. And so you've got, not only are you influencing others through that, you're influencing yourself. You're giving yourself a disease.
So, Zach, you're saying that it's possible to be a bad influence upon yourself.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Not just other people. Not just other people. Oh, yes.
So, you know, we have to realize some of those sins, though, that particularly have to do with attitudes. They are very contagious in their nature, and those attitudes are going to spread, and it is hard for us to overemphasize the impact of a bad attitude.
So they're so infectious. I don't know, when you walk into church and you see the person, and they've got that sour look on their face, like they, you know, I just don't want to be here today. I really don't want to be here today. I don't want to talk to nobody. I don't want to fellowship with anybody. So you walk in, you see a person like that, it's going to put a damper on your day. I know it does me. I still try to remain positive, but it does put a damper on you. But then you walk in and you see a person with a big smile on their face, and they're talking to everybody, they're shaking everybody's hands. You know, that brightens your day. That gives you the positive little boost that you need. But man, bad attitudes are infectious. Don't have a bad attitude. Don't do it. No bad attitudes. Make a pact right now to never have a bad attitude at church.
This is what I hear from a very, very not so good friend as an example, okay? But what he said, it was very wise.
I've never heard it put that way. A very, very not so good friend. Pablo, Pablo, am I your very, very not so good friend?
Say yes, Pablo. Say see.
And he said something very wise. He said, "Sin makes you a coward."
Okay, now say it again.
Thing makes you a coward. A coward, no? Coward.
Coward.
Coward. Yes. Okay. And that is true. Because when I was on my early years of church, you know, I made something wrong when I was on my youthful. I didn't go to church for 2 Sundays because of my sin. So
right.
I was a,
uh-huh.
a right.
Sin makes me a coward. Like, no, I don't want to go to church. I don't want to answer all the questions and things like that. And I just stayed at home, buddy.
That's a good point too. Pablo's got all kinds of good points today. Sin does make you a coward. Sin makes you not want to do things with the church and things of that sort. And that's why it's really, you can't walk a path of righteousness and walk a path of sin. You can't do that. But there are a lot of people who try to stay in the church but also stay in their sin, and it's just not possible. It's not possible at all because of the influence that it has on yourself. It'd be a bad influence on yourself, Keith.
Well, you need to stop, Zach.
Okay. Just stop.
Okay. So here is another point, and this, you know, going back and tying this into the analogy of being sick. There are some people who, when they get sick, and I'm not going to mention any names,
right.
But when they get sick, when they get the littlest cold, they act like they're dying. The nobody has ever been as sick as I've been before. Everybody should be paying attention to me. Everybody should be, you know, meeting my needs. And I'm not mentioning any names.
You were pointing at me with your hands. You were doing this right here. That's what you were doing. You didn't have to mention any names if you're pointing at the person.
Well, you know, you are the one. The three of us anyway who is sick right now, so you know,
I mean, okay, I'm sorry.
When you get sick, do you get grumpy?
I don't get grumpy. I just don't feel like doing anything when I get sick. I just want to sit and rest.
Okay, that's a whole nother point.
Okay,
that we could make
another point. I've got another good point too, but keep going.
We do tend to make more things about ourselves.
We do.
And, you know, when I get sick, I just want to be left alone. Just don't mess with me. Leave me alone. I'm not the kind who, you know, starts making demands, you know, bring me this, bring me this. You know, I'm just leave me alone. Don't talk to me. You know, I don't.
Right.
But that's human. That's creation nature. Because when and sometimes it's better to be alone to recover our strength. No, it or not to look dependable. No, from others.
Well,
maybe.
Well, let's take it to an extreme though, Pablo. Because I am also the kind that if I get sick, I'm not going to seek treatment immediately. I mean, I have to get really, really sick before.
Prime example, Keith had malaria once, didn't want to go to the doctor, almost died. So, I mean, that's your prime example.
Oh, so now I almost died. Oh, okay. So, this story just.
Cough, Keith. Get over it, man.
This story gets better with the every time it gets told, you know. I get a little closer to death's door every time the story gets told. You know that, and that I actually was thinking of that example because I was determined I was not going to go to the hospital. And
right.
But sometimes we get in situations with sin where we feel the same way. We don't want to talk to anyone. We don't want anyone else's help. We don't want anyone else. Oh, when you get sick and when you do go to the doctor and you get that nurse that is so bright and so cheerful and,
right.
you know, just so happy and, you know, she's trying to kill you with kindness, you know, and you just want to hit her, you know, just smack her. Just stop. Leave me alone. You know.
Right. Yeah. And then you get then the next day you get the nurse that's like a Nazi that nobody wants to be around. She's demanding. She's mean. You just don't want to be around her.
We could compare that to some of our fellow Christians, and you know, maybe ourselves when we find ourselves in sin. And there are people who genuinely want to help. They really want what is best for us, but we put up that wall and we say, no, I don't want your encouragement. No, I don't want your scripture. No, I don't want your help. And we try to keep them
as far away as we could possibly get them.
Yes, I was going to say a safe distance, but we try to keep them as far away as we can. And part of that is, as Pablo said, human nature. You know, we want that sense of independence. We don't like to admit we need help. But at some point it becomes counterproductive for us to behave like that. And, you know, we've talked about counseling before and, you know, things relative to that. There's a reason that I don't do very much counseling, and that's because I'm more like the Nazi nurse.
Right.
You know, just
you fix your problems.
You created this mess.
You created it and you fix them. Yeah. Just get blunt with him. Get blunt with him, Keith.
But you know, and with the Nazi nurse, it's like just stop whining and take your medicine, you know.
Yeah.
Well, sometimes as Christians we need someone to tell us that. We need someone. Look, stop your whining and just fix the problem, you know.
Yep.
You know what to do. Fix the problem.
Sin, the topic of sin is just going around the air right now, Keith. Barb Blankenship Roop, 6 minutes ago. Barb Roop here is with a thought about the three-letter word that we call sin. So it's just going around, that? Keith. It's going around.
So, hey, good way of working out that shout-out to Barb.
Yeah. We had to get one in.
Barb, we love you. We love Barb Roop. Pablo, you've never got to meet Barb Roop.
If you did, your
world would be a brighter, happier place.
Oh, Pablo, you have no idea, man.
We love Barb. Man.
It's like a war with no lawyers. Wow, that would be awesome.
Yeah.
I think there's a point we're missing here, though, Keith, and we've got...
For those of you listening who are lawyers, please do not be offended by Pablo's statement.
Right. We're down to 18 minutes, so we've got 18 minutes left. There's your time.
Okay. Well, I wanted to read from 1 Corinthians chapter 10.
Okay.
1 Corinthians chapter 10, and you know, really, we could start at the beginning of the chapter. I'm not going to read all of that, but Paul writes to them in verse 1, and he says, "Moreover, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware that all our fathers were under the cloud, all passed through the sea, all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and they all ate the same spiritual food." Maybe I will read it all. I don't know. "And all drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ." Now, verse 5, that's what I was trying to get to. "But with most of them, God was not well pleased, for their bodies were scattered in the wilderness." And then he goes on and he talks about some of the things that they did that caused God to not be pleased with them. Verse 11, "Now all these things happened to them as examples, and they were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the ages have come. Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed, lest he fall." So, and then he goes on in verse 13, the point that Paul's making there in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 is, you are not special.
Right.
You too could catch the flu. You too could catch malaria. You too can be tempted and sin. And when sin does come upon us, we have to realize that. And here's another point that I was going to make. I had so many. I should have written all these down, but I didn't. You know, and this goes back to the days when I was a paramedic. And I remember in paramedic school, our instructor gave us this example. He said, when you get a call on the ambulance to go pick up someone who has fallen and broken their hip, and unfortunately, that happens. Sometimes people will fall down and hips are big bones and they hit hard. When you go and you pick up someone, they're laying in the floor. They are in pain because their hip is broken. You are so worried about taking care of their hip. Don't forget to ask why they fell.
Mm.
How did they get in the floor? Did they trip over a dog? And if they tripped over a dog, where is the dog now? And is that dog going to come around the corner and bite you?
Right.
Did their blood sugar drop too low? And that's what caused them to fall. Did you know, their blood pressure drop too low? You know, that here's the thing, that it's possible that that person who is laying in the floor with a broken hip has a bigger problem. And he told us, don't just treat the symptoms without treating the actual problem. And a lot of times when it comes to this sickness that is caused by sin, we get distracted with the symptoms without ever looking for what the actual problem is.
But it's the same thing that we talk about too, Keith. We've talked about before. You have, you know, missing worship service. People will use that as a measuring tape for, you know, the things that, you know, how faithful a Christian is. But missing worship service isn't the problem. The missing worship service is a side effect of the real problem. And so you have to get to that real problem. But to do that, one, you got to have somebody, a Christian, like you said, that's going to ask questions, that's going to pry, that's going to try to figure out what that problem is. Until you got to do a little self-examination. And I know we don't like to do that, but you got to do a little self-examination. You got to figure it out for yourself. And I think that's a great point, that you need to look at the inner problem. What's the real problem? What's causing the sin? Not what the sin is, what's causing the sin?
And going back to that example of missing worship, I know a lot of times we will be like, well, you know, we missed you at worship. Won't you come back to worship? And we never dig to ask why.
Right.
And don't be confused by the answer that is given.
Mm-hmm.
If you ask why, they're going, well, we've been busy here lately, or, right, you know, we've been out of town an awful lot here lately, or, you know, and my, I don't know, South Georgia was, South Georgia was really strange because, and it was just the custom of that area, but if a family member died, sometimes the family would not show up for church for a month. To me, that's backwards. That's where you need to be. But, you know, anyway, that's just South Georgia. But it could be a faith problem. It could be a fear problem.
Mm-hmm.
It could be a sin problem. It could be an anger problem.
Mm.
It could be a forgiveness problem. I was looking for words that started with F so we could alliterate this. So Pablo could turn this into a sermon for the next youth day that he speaks at.
That's right. He needs some ideas.
The only problem is that the only problem is that if he tried to alliterate it in English, it wouldn't translate into Spanish very well.
This is true.
That will be
Yes. So, but you know, what is the actual problem? Because if all we do is treat the symptoms and we don't fix the problem, then it's going to keep happening.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like a small child that gets strep throat over and over and over again. Well, you can go to the doctor and the doctor can give you antibiotics, but what's causing the strep throat? Let's look at that problem and let's see what we can do to fix that to stop it from recurring.
I think there's a humongous point, Keith, that we've been missing, though. And we haven't really talked about this one. And the point is, not only does sin make you sick, it makes Jesus sick. It makes God sick. I mean, look at the letter that was written to the church at Laodicea in Revelation 3. In verse 16, we have the only recording in history, in the Bible, of Jesus being physically ill. And what did he say? He said, "So then, because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will vomit you out of my mouth. I will throw you. I will spit you out of my mouth." The New King James Version says vomit. I mean, that's the kind of repulse, which, of course, he's talking about works. They were neither hot nor cold in the works. They were trying to straddle a fence in their works. But the same thing can apply to sin. When we're in sin, we're usually cold spiritually. And there are people who try to be hot, who try to not be either hot or cold spiritually. They try to straddle that fence. They're hot one day, and the next day they could care less. And so, you know, that kind of attitude, that kind of sin problem, it makes God sick. And it doesn't make us sick. It makes God sick. And I think that's an important point to make, too, because people think that there's not going to be any recourse for their sin. But there is. There's an effect on other people. There's an effect on yourself. And God has an opinion about it as well.
And really, that's the one that matters.
Yes, that is.
That is the one that matters. Okay, so where are we at on time?
We are 8 minutes.
8 minutes. Okay, so we've got time for one more point, I think, here that we can make. Does anybody have one?
Can we make one?
I've thrown out.
Eight minutes?
We can do it. We can do it.
Are you sure?
We can. Pablo, do you have another point? I've done a lot of talking here. I can. You're done?
I'm not done. I mean, I'm just keeping on your
conversation.
No, it is something that was going on my mind. When we commit sin, we teach, or when we, you, kid, as a father or other people, when your son was a child, was little, and he did something wrong, you were teaching him, you have to say sorry, I'm sorry for do this.
Mm-hmm.
And when we are adults and we did something wrong, very, very bad, sometimes we think that just say I'm sorry will be everything. But
Yes.
Or when I'm invitation of the church after a sermon, okay, if you need some prayers, please come here. Okay, fellow brothers and sisters, I'm sorry for do this. Okay, just go out. But it's consequences. It's more like say I'm sorry. So yeah, I know if I got a point. Because and sometimes we treat sin like it's not something big. It's just like something that happened, something that I did, and I will repent, and sooner or later everything will be forget.
Mm-hmm.
No?
Forgotten. Okay, so we could put it like this. It's like, and I'm trying to think of a sickness that we could use. Well, let's Let's stick with Zach's current illness.
Okay, it's like a sickness. I mean, for example, if you're an alcoholic, but in the beginning they say, okay, don't drink a lot because you will have a problem with your body. But you're still doing this, the sickness will be developed. No, and there is a part of the Bible in the saying, no, everything that you spread seeds, how do you call that?
I don't know what you're doing there. What are you doing?
When you have seeds, the farmer that spread seeds.
Oh, seeds,
farmer.
There is a part of the Bible that say, no, everything that you put on the ground, it will harvest, no? The harvest comes.
Yes. What you sow is what you will reap.
Yes.
It's the same with the sin, no? At the beginning, people can tell you, hey, don't do this because it will be grow up more. But we didn't stop.
That's pretty good stuff, Pablo. Wow.
That he's full of good stuff today, I'm telling you.
Wow. I was going to put it like this, though. You know, if you have an illness, I use this because it's something that I have I've faced. I've got sunspots that, you know, I go to the dermatologist and the dermatologist says, okay, we're going to have to burn that off. But if you don't use sunscreen and if you don't take care of your skin, then you're going to be right back here and we're going to have to do this again.
Mm-hmm.
And I've got a spot right here that I need to go get the dermatologist to look at. I am actually pretty careful, but you know, if you just keep ignoring the problem in the hopes that it will go away.
Yes.
Oh, if I, hand up. Yes.
If I fight with Zach, okay.
I don't want to fight you, Pablo.
Okay. My money is on you, Pablo.
Wow. Yeah, and Zach broke my arm. But Zach come to me and say, Pablo, I'm sorry. Okay. But I don't do anything with my arm. So there is a consequence. I'm sorry, it won't fix my arm. So it's the same with the thing. No. So that was my first point. No, I just want to make sure.
Okay.
I know that you are on the second point, but... Yes,
that's one to make it clear. It's a good point.
It's a very good point. Sorry, it won't fix your arm. And
I'm sorry I broke your arm, Pablo.
But if you don't fix your arm, then the consequences will remain.
Yeah, that's it.
That's the point that I was trying to make. So,
thank you, buddy.
Yes, so, Zach.
You got that figured out.
Stop being mean to Pablo.
I'm sorry, man. I'm just mean to everybody, really, I guess.
It's okay, man. Don't worry, man.
That's the way
shared a room. We shared a room in Peru.
Yeah.
You know,
for many days.
He said, it's football season. He said, I'm going to have the TV. It's football season. And so he watched soccer while I just sat in the bed and on my phone watched Netflix. Because I'm just not a soccer guy. I'm just not. I try, Pablo. I can't, man. I'm football, basketball, and baseball. That's my three sports. But I will give you, soccer is the fastest growing sport in the world, from what I can gather. So it may get to where one day.
Here's the reality, Zach. Soccer has always been big in the world. It's just now becoming big in the United States.
Wait, listen, so. America. American sports. That's all. Yes. American sports.
Zach, you know, just admit it. Your world is what's right there around.
Oh, it's American. Yeah. Yeah, my world's American.
So, Pablo, I will watch football with you.
Football.
Thank you, buddy.
I will watch.
I'm play. Two maybe minutes. Sometime.
2 minutes.
I'm ready. Let's go.
Okay, man. Don't bro your. You aren't. But you aren't.
Okay. So, Zach, where are we at?
2 minutes.
How many?
Two.
2 minutes. Okay. So, we're actually going to wrap up on time today. How about that?
Hey,
We want to thank you very much for listening to our program, and just remind you that you can go to our Facebook page. That is facebook.com/ Let's Talk About Christianity. Do we even tell them about the Instagram?
I mean, we do. It's just not had anything posted, and that's my fault, but
I don't even have the login. I couldn't post on there if I wanted to.
Kit, please, for the next time, on that thumbnail picture, put that decent picture, please, of us.
I didn't choose that.
He says he didn't, Pablo.
I was like,
you know he did that. You know he chose that picture.
Wait, can you make that face again so that I can choose that one?
No. Don't do it, Pablo.
No, don't put that.
Say no, senor.
Okay. You know what? I will choose the picture and send it to you for approval. How about that?
There you go.
Okay. So if you want to watch the video, you can find it on the Facebook page, or you can go to my Vimeo account. It's vimeo.com/KeithAlbright. And then our email, of course, is keith@letstalkaboutchristianity.com. We would love to hear from you. We love getting your feedback. And we love Barb Roop. Because Barb always has a comment to make for us. So
Barb Roop. All right. We're out of time.
Yep. We're out of time. All right. Pablo, thank you so much for coming on the program. Zach, good to see you as always. And we will see you next week. Thank you very much.
See you soon. Adios.